All right, thank you for that number. Please take your Bibles this evening, turn to Hosea 11. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 12 tonight. We'll begin reading in verse number 7. We're going to look at verses 8 through 12 of Hosea 11. It says in verse number 8, "How shall I give thee up, verse 7, I said I was going to begin in, "and my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints." Here in these verses, verses 7 through 12, we find not only a future look into the life of Israel, but God also gives us a present picture of what is happening in the land. Here in these verses, we see a great picture of the mercy and compassion of God, even though this whole book is filled with judgment against the nation because of their sin. We see really a picture of God's mercy towards the children of Israel. But yet at the same time, we find that presently the people are going to be judged. But God yet is going to reserve a remnant that will be faithful to Himself. And He gives us a picture into the future of His dealings with His people. You know, tonight, what side, should we say, of God's dealings do you want to be on? You know, the side of God's mercy or the side of God's judgment? I'm reminded of what it says in Psalm number 6. And I'm just going to look at it later on in the message, but I'll read it right now. In Psalm number 6. You turn there quickly. It says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." He says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake." Here we find David crying out for the mercy of God in his life. You know, we are in desperate need of God's mercies in our own life. In Psalm 130, it says in verse number 3, it says, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." It's interesting, in Psalm 103, it talks, like just to point out a verse while we're on this subject, Psalm 103, it says, like as a father... Well, let me read the verse before. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Then it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. It says there back in Psalm 103, it talked about one of the things, or Psalm 130. In Psalm 130, what does it say? It says, I wait... But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And then here in Psalm 103 it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You know, we have a wrong sense of the forgiveness of God when we use it to further sin. When really the forgiveness of God ought to drive us in a greater awe of who He is. And ought to cause us really to fear His name. And to stay away from sin. And here in Hosea, as God looks down upon the children of Israel, really it pains Him to realize what He needs to do to them. Because of His justice, but at the same time, we find His justice, His holiness, all working, His compassion working together. And it says here, as I find my way back, Hosea 11, it says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboam? Now, what Admah and Zeboam mentioned in the last sermon were cities that were in along with Sodom and Gomorrah that were destroyed by the flames. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, it talks about this. Deuteronomy 29 verse 23 says, "And that the whole land is brimstone and salt and burning that is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in His anger and in His wrath." So when Hosea here presents these two cities before the children of Israel that he is preaching to, delivering this word from God, it would have reminded them, well, if they knew God's word, but obviously they didn't have too much knowledge of it. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It should have reminded them of the curse that was going to come upon those individuals that did not follow God. Notice what it says there in Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. It says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning that is not sown nor beareth nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath, even all nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. So we find here that God had showed them what was going to take place if they departed from His ways. But we find yet here in this passage that God's heart of compassion towards His own people is stirred. Notice what He says. He says, "Mine heart is turned within me." We find this phrase used in another book of the Bible, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. This phrase, "Mine heart is turned within thee." All right, it shows the compassion here of God's towards His people. If we go over to Lamentations chapter 1, it'll give us a little idea here of what this phrase is speaking of. Lamentations 1 and verse 20. And I believe these are the only two times this phrase is used. I could be wrong. I tried doing a quick scan through the concordance, but I might have missed one. But Lamentations 1:20 says, "Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me. For I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth, at home there is as death." So he says, "For I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me." So we find the fact that God had to bring judgment upon the children of Israel was not something that He was, which we say, looking forward to. This was something that brought great anguish of heart as He looked at what was going to have to take place to the children of Israel because of the sin that they were living in. He says, "How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim?" This is what is going to have to happen to you because of your sin. This is what I said was going to take place in the Word of God. Like, how am I going to do it? We find the compassion of God towards His people. It says, "My repentings, my compassions here, they are kindled together." He is deeply affected here by what has to take place to the children of Israel. We find here the compassion of God towards His people. We find His great love for His people. You know, as a parent in dealing with your children, you know, do you exercise this same compassion when discipline is necessary because of sin that happens in your children's lives? We find this is the relationship that God had with His people. Yes, He was going to have to exercise His justice with them because of their sin. But yet we find the great compassion, the great moving of His heart towards His own people. "My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together." He is deeply affected. Verse 9. It says, "I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim." So what is God going to do? Well, He is not going to completely destroy Israel. All right, He is going to preserve them because there is a future work that He is going to do amongst His people. It says, "For I am God and not man." Right, what does man's anger, which we say, want to do when it is, I mean, when something is done to us and we have been completely wrong and what has happened is it's turned against us? I mean, we, you know, look out in the, you know, the world today. Well, there, you know, if you have a nation going against another nation and that nation has done something maybe some great slaughter. You look at maybe some of the tribes and the, some of the warring that goes on. You know, what are they looking for? I mean, they're looking just to destroy completely. There is maybe no mercy, so to speak, in their hands. You see it some of the, you know, the ruthless things that you hear about, some of the ruthless things maybe that take place between some of the tribal peoples sometimes. But he says, I am God and not man. All right, God is a holy God. In all of his dealings, his anger, his dealings with sin, all of it is tempered by his holiness. It is never out of control. Unlike our anger can get out of control. But God's anger is never out of control. It is always tempered by his holiness. It never goes beyond those bounds. He says, I am God and not man. Even though in a sense Ephraim deserved to be destroyed and be wiped out completely, God was going to show them mercy. Now, we must be reminded that that generation was going to reap the just results of their sin. All right, and who was this, in verses 10 and 11, who is this going to be for? Was it going to be for those people of that time? No, well, it's going to happen to a generation, those that turn to the Lord. So we see the mercy and we see the compassion of God towards his people, but we must be reminded that he shows pity on what? On them that fear him. It says, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. All right, now it's interesting here. He says, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and then he says, and I will not enter into the city. All right, well, obviously we know God is omnipresent. Okay, he is everywhere present. But he says here, I'm not going to enter into the city. Well, what does he mean by this? Well, I believe what's happening here is he's talking about the judgment that's going to take place, all right, but he's also talking about his great compassion that he's showing towards his people, how his heart is turning within him. The idea here is he's not going to visit them, because if he visited them with the full force of his wrath upon them, what would happen? Well, they would be completely wiped out. All right, and so if God visited them in his wrath, in his anger, and he visited the city, look at the wickedness that's going on all about them. I mean, God would have to what? Well, that city would be completely destroyed. And so we find here, I will not enter into the city. Notice verse 10 here. He jumps to the future. He says, they shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. We find in, I believe it's Revelation, the Lord referred to as the lion of the what? Of the tribe of Judah. If you go a couple pages over to Joel chapter 3 and verse 16, as we read of the future, notice what it says here, verse 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through here anymore. Here we find that the heart of Israel has turned back to her Lord. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. There is going to be judgment brought about now upon the nations that surround Israel that have treated Israel unjustly. And now God is going to be, is what he has been all along, her protector. They have finally turned to him. And the Lord will be the hope of his people. In Hosea 11, we find the result of his roaring like a lion. It says, he shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. So when the voice of the Lord speaks, there is a trembling. There is a fear of him that occurs at the sound of his voice. We find it referred to, it says, then the children shall tremble from the west. It says, they shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt. A bird, maybe something that's quick in flight. It says, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. The dove was a bird that was noted for its swiftness of flight, something maybe that was also easily affrighted. It says they're going to tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. So there's, you know, you walk up to a bird, it doesn't take much to normally to get them to move. All right, you know, certain animals, you know, maybe they would move less quickly, but you know, certain, you know, go out to a bird in the wild, and as soon as you, you know, maybe there's some exceptions, but you get close to them, what are they going to do? Well, they take off, all right? And the Lord's voice is going to roar, and the people are going to tremble, and there's going to be a great movement that is going to take place. If we can go over to Isaiah chapter 60. Notice what it says here. It says, verse 6, the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee, for in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gate shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. We find Israel does have a future, and it is going to be a blessed future, as they submit themselves to their Messiah. In just a couple chapters over in Isaiah chapter 64, as it speaks here of in Hosea 11 of trembling, I think this passage, Isaiah 64, fits in with Isaiah or Hosea 11. It says here, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the what? That the nations may tremble at thy presence. All right, what's going to happen? The Lord is going to speak forth his voice, and what's going to happen? Well, there is going to be a trembling that takes place. It is going to be a great fear for those that are not on God's side. But we find it is going to be great peace for those that love Him and serve Him. It says, "And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord." So there is going to be a great movement here towards the land of Israel as the voice of the Lord cries out. "Then they shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord." But then God comes right back to the present of what's happening in the land of Israel. "Ephraim compasseth me about with lies." Now, we find again, we're reminded of the fact that God is omnipresent. Okay, but here it's saying Ephraim is compassing him about with lies. Well, obviously, it's not meaning that God is surrounded, and he's limited by their lies in a way that he's smaller, but it's showing the magnitude. He says, "Ephraim compasseth me about with lies." The magnitude of their lies is as if it was encircling God. That is how great the deceit that had been born, that had been compiled here in the land of Israel. Everything about them was about deceit. Back in Hosea chapter 4, Hosea chapter 4, he says, verse 2, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood." It was a land of lie. They were worshiping God falsely. You know, if you're reading through 1 Kings or 2 Kings, you'll find once in a while, very few times, I think there was, Jehu, and then I think it was Jehoash, or one other king, that did a few things. Jehu went and killed off a bunch of the prophets of Baal, and there was another king that made some movement in Israel towards God. But what did they never do? Well, they never would get rid of the false calf worship that Jeroboam set up initially. And every single one of them walked after the sin of Jeroboam. You know, and what did God say? What does the Bible say in John? This John chapter 4. It says, "They that worship me must worship me in what? In spirit and in truth." God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right. What is it when we are not worshiping God in truth? Well, what are we worshiping him with? We're worshiping him with a lie. All right. And that is what Israel was doing. All right. They were basically committing a falsehood, a lie, having a wrong portrayal of who the one that was supposed to be their God, what he was. Now, up until this point, in the land of Judah, there were still, obviously, they had their own problems, but yet they were still, it says, "But Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the saints." At least in Judah, there was still a protection of the correct and the true worship of God. But in Ephraim, it was a lie. Their worship, the way they lived their life, everything about them really was deceit and was a lie. You know, we can try to worship God maybe halfway, or we can try to surrender to Him halfway, Or we can do things halfway, maybe partially. But what is it? What does God see it as? Well, he sees it as a lie. Unless we are doing it wholeheartedly in truth. And so he says, Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. In 2 Chronicles 13, in verse 4 it says, "And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemarim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands?" I'm in verse 9. "So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him, and the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priest with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper." So we find here there was still some resemblance that Judah was following God. Now we find here that changed as well. And Judah had their problems. And you'll find in chapter 12, verse 2, "The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him." But there was, at least in some semblance, a preservation of the worship of God, whereas Israel had gone after this false worship of God in setting up these golden calves, had set up a convenient worship instead of setting up a worship according to the dictates of God, because Jeroboam didn't want the people going down to Jerusalem and then turning back to Judah, and then he wouldn't have a kingdom to rule over. And so he set up really a system of worship based upon convenience rather than it being based upon what God's word had dictated. That's right. And the Bible refers to this as lies, as deceit. Now you think of the convenient worship that people have set up today. You know, maybe they don't put a golden calf up there, but it's a false form of worship. And when we worship God in a way that does not display a proper image of who God is, we are worshiping God with a lie. And that's a very dangerous thing to do. So we find here that God had compassion. God was not going to deal with them just maybe as a man would, with anger and uncontrollable anger. But God was going to have compassion to his people. But we find that mercy that's going to be shown to Israel, they were not going to be completely destroyed, maybe as Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities were. They were going to feel the effects, so to speak, of their land being desolate. But God was going to preserve them a people, himself a people, and was going to show mercy in the future as they would walk after the Lord. But in the present here, they are going to experience the judgment of God upon their sin. You know, and the question tonight is, what are we going to experience in our lives? You know, God wants us to cry out for his mercy. You know, we find that in the Psalms. We find them crying out for the mercy of the Lord. You know, if God would mark iniquities, who would stand? None of us would. But that doesn't mean we go and we just bury ourselves in sin. No, it means that we come and we bow ourselves before God, turning from our sin, so we can experience his mercy in our lives and not be like the children of Israel who just continue down their same path away from God. You know, tonight, are we going to hear the voice of the Lord and come before his presence? Or is it going to be the nations who one day will hear the voice of the Lord? You know, it's going to cause great trembling for the children of Israel. It will be the voice of victory, may we say, for those that are walking with their Lord. But you know, at that, when you think of all those nations coming down upon Israel, you know, and the nations are gathering together, lifting themselves up in pride, talking about peace, thinking that they have the world under control. You know, and just like that, God will defeat them. You know, as we think of our own lives in the present, is that mercy going to be reserved for someone else in the future? Or are we today going to come before God in humility, looking for his mercy? In the last chapter of Hosea, it says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. The very last verse says, Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And Israel was transgressing, and they were going to fall therein. But God says in the future, verse 10, they shall walk after the Lord. You know, in the very last verse of the book, what does it say? It's, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the what? The just, the righteous, shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And obviously that righteousness can only be obtained through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whereby we can walk in his ways. You know, tonight we have a merciful God. We have a God who it pains him to bring about the destruction here in Hosea for the people that were his own. The Bible says here, mine heart is turned within me. Do we recognize how much God truly cares for us tonight? You know, he's not standing there just waiting to lash out, to destroy us. But God is waiting, really, for us to come before him, to seek his forgiveness, to seek his mercy. You know, in Malachi 3 verse 6, it says, I am the Lord, I change not, It says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. No, God is faithful. God honors His word. And if we will simply come before Him, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we have a merciful God. We have a God who wants us to stay close to Him. But at the same time, we have a God of justice. And He has declared in His word what will take place if we do not follow Him. For whom a father loves, he chastens. And tonight, may we recognize the goodness, but also the greatness of our God. And may it cause us to come before Him and to fear His name. Let's pray. Lord, we recognize tonight that if You would mark iniquities, who would stand? None of us would. Lord, we are grateful for Your mercy and how much we are in need of it. Lord, we think of this time of Thanksgiving. We think of the psalm that over and over repeats, "For His mercy endureth forever." Lord, we see tonight how it pains You to bring this judgment down upon, Lord, those who hold Your name. Lord, we know that obviously many in Israel, while they were to have the name of the Lord, were not truly, Lord, spiritually Your children, even though physically, Lord, they carried Your name. Lord, we pray tonight as God's people that we would truly walk in Your righteousness. Lord, that we would learn to fear Your name. Lord, as we think of the future, Lord, of Your great might, and the judgment that is going to come upon the nations that forget God, Lord, may it cause us to walk before You in humility and in truth. Lord, may we never settle for a half-hearted obedience. May we never settle for a worship that only worships You in certain aspects but leaves others out. Lord, may we not worship You just based upon what is convenient for us or what makes sense for our lives, but may it always be according to the truth of Your word. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, do you recognize tonight God's great mercy? Oh, that the children of Israel would have turned to the Lord. But they didn't. They continued on in their own ways. God is merciful, but and He is obviously merciful to us every day in that we are still alive. You know, but how much are you going to truly experience that mercy in your life? You know, you're struggling with something tonight. You need to humble yourself before God. You need to cry out for His mercy. He is there wanting you to repent, to change your attitude about your sin. God is not there just wanting to lash out against you. but he wants to show his mercy in your life. You know, maybe tonight you're a parent. You know, maybe in your discipline of your children, you've had the severity there against the sin, but there has not been that same kind of compassion that God had in his heart in bringing against his people the punishment that they deserved and that he declared would come upon them. You know, maybe tonight God's working in your life that you would have that same compassion towards your children as you must administer that which needs to be brought upon them. You know, if God is speaking to your heart tonight, may you surrender that area to him. Lord, I pray that you would work in our lives. Help us to ever stay close, to always, Lord, stay close to your side. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.